Queen Cassiopeia was a bit bored. Not finding anything else to do, she picked up her mirror and began to look at herself. Oh, she was beautiful, beautiful indeed. And she was quite proud of that. And the more she looked, the more she enjoyed the way she looked. And she started to let everyone know who passed by. "Look at how beautiful I am," she would say. "In fact, I'm more beautiful than anyone else in the entire universe, including the 7 beautiful sisters. I am the most beautiful of all." Well, word got around that Queen Cassiopeia was just a little bit too good-looking. And the 7 sisters heard about it, and they heard that she had claimed to be more beautiful than they, and, well, that just can't be. No one is more beautiful than the 7 beautiful sisters. And so they complained to their dad. "Dad, the queen is saying she's more beautiful than we are. How can that be? It's impossible. Do something." Like any good dad, Neptune did do something. He decided he couldn't let this injustice go, though the universe surely must know that his daughters were the most beautiful ladies of all. So he hatched a plan, and he warned Queen Cassiopeia that she must stop claiming to be the most beautiful of all, because his 7 beautiful daughters were the most beautiful. Queen Cassiopeia didn't like that. She was a queen. Nobody told her what to do. So Queen Cassiopeia, like any good queen, went to her king. "King Cepheus, dear, aren't I the most beautiful?" she said as she twirled her beautiful hair in front of the mirror.
Yes, dear, whatever you say," said the king.
"Oh, but look how lovely I am, and my beautiful hair, it streams upon my shoulders. And oh, look, dear."
Yes, dear, you're the most beautiful," said the king as he went about reading his evening paper.
Queen Cassiopeia wasn't quite satisfied with her king's response, and she didn't stop saying she was the most beautiful. And the 7 beautiful sisters went to their father, Neptune, once again. "Dad! She's still doing it. Stop her." "All right," said Neptune, and he went to the king. "King Cepheus," said Neptune, "if you don't stop the queen from claiming to be the most beautiful in the universe, I will send a monster to ravage your land."
"All right," said King Cepheus.
And he tried, but the queen couldn't stop looking at herself. She found herself so beautiful. The poor king. Because the next day, a runner came from the far edges of his kingdom, from the seaside.
"Sire! Sire, help us!" the runner shouted. "We're being eaten alive! A monster has come out of the sea, and it's eating all of the cattle and all of our goats and all of our horses and all of our fields, and it's going to eat our children! Help!"
"All right," said the king, and King Cepheus went back to his evening paper.
1 hour later, another runner came, this time from the south end of the coast.
"Your Majesty, I hail from the southern part of the kingdom. We're being eaten by a sea monster. Can't you do something? We've lost all our goats and all our cows and all our chickens, and our poor roosters are all gone. We can't wake up in the morning anymore. Please, do something."
All right, said King Cepheus, and he did nothing. And his kingdom kept getting eaten up little bit by little bit. Finally, he got tired of the runners interrupting his reading of his evening paper. And he went back to Neptune and said, "Neptune, now really, you've got to stop this. This is silly. I'm losing my whole kingdom. And they're interrupting my reading, and I just can't get through one paper anymore." Neptune said, "I warned you. If you didn't stop the queen from claiming to be the most beautiful when my daughters are clearly the most beautiful, I would send a sea monster to eat your kingdom up."
"All right, how do we stop it?" said King Cepheus.
Well, said Neptune, there is only one thing that we can do. You must take your beautiful daughter, and you must sacrifice her to the sea monster, and he will stop eating your kingdom.
What? Said King Cepheus. My daughter? I will not sacrifice my daughter.
Well, I guess you'll just lose your kingdom. That little center section there, I'll bet, looks mighty juicy to Cetus the sea monster. It probably kind of tastes like chocolate with all those cocoa beans you're growing. Well, chocolate was the most lucrative export that King Cepheus had. It provided all the income for his entire kingdom. He had to buy his evening paper with the money from the chocolate.
All right, all right, all right, said King Cepheus. I'll do it. What do I do?
Take your daughter, said Neptune. Chain her to the rocks, and Cetus the sea monster will come and eat her. And that will satiate his appetite, and he will bother your kingdom no more.
Oh, King Cepheus, he didn't want to lose his daughter, but he didn't want to lose his kingdom. He was loyal to his subject, and he didn't want his people to be eaten alive.
So, with a sad and heavy heart, he took his daughter, the beautiful Andromeda, the princess, who was heir to the throne, and he took her and chained her to the rocks. He chained her facing the rock because he didn't want her to see Cetus coming after her. He didn't want her to see her end coming. He sat on his throne and positioned it nearby so he could watch to make sure that the judgment was enacted and his kingdom would finally be safe. Queen Cassiopeia was there too, and she brought her mirror just to ensure that she was still as beautiful as ever. She wasn't real happy about losing the princess, but she had her mirror, and that was adequate comfort. Suddenly, the sea began to roil. The surface, the waves began to break. Foam spewed from the surface, and up came the mighty Cetus sea monster. Slowly, he swam towards Andromeda. Princess Andromeda saw him coming, heard the mighty roar of the waves breaking before his arrival. She could smell the stench of his breath, which kind of smelled like chocolate. And she could feel the foam being flung into the air by his mighty tail as he swished his way through the water. Oh, poor Andromeda, she knew her end was coming. Father! Father! She wailed, help me! Oh, King Cepheus's heart melted. What do I do, Neptune? Nothing, said Neptune. Your daughter Andromeda is as good as dead.
Oh, King Cepheus wept.
High overhead, flying in the sky, unobserved by Andromeda or Queen Cassiopeia, who was looking at herself in the mirror, or King Cepheus, was Perseus. Perseus, the mighty warrior. He was sitting astride Pegasus, the winged horse, and in his bag at his side was the ugly head of Medusa with hair of snakes. He had just killed Medusa by trickery, and he was bringing the head back as a trophy. He saw below him the beautiful, beautiful princess, and his eyes couldn't leave gazing upon her beautiful face. But why was she chained to that rock, he wondered. And he saw the sea monster Cetus coming towards her, and he knew that was not a good thing. And he saw King Cepheus. He swooped down on Pegasus and said, King Cepheus, what is going on?
Oh, said King Cepheus, my daughter is going to be eaten by that thing.
Aha, said Perseus. I have a plan. I, the great warrior Perseus, will save your daughter if you will do me one favor.
Oh, what? Anything, anything, said the king.
I must have your daughter as my bride. Give her to me in marriage, and I will save her, said Perseus.
Okay, all right, it's a deal. Go for it. Do it, whatever. Save her, please, said King Cepheus. Perseus leapt from Pegasus' back,
strode carefully, nimbly from one rock to the other, out to the cropping that was holding Princess Andromeda chained to the rocks. The waves were crashing as Cetus drew nearer. Cetus didn't see Perseus. He was intent upon eating the beautiful Andromeda. Perseus crept up behind the rock. He opened the sack containing Medusa's head, wrapped his fingers around the coiling, snaking hair, pulled Medusa's head, and whispered to Andromeda, "Close your eyes. Don't look. Trust me." Andromeda held her breath. "Close your eyes," said Perseus. She closed her eyes. Cetus, the monster, opened his gaping maw, ready to eat Andromeda with his teeth dripping with foam from the sea. He bent over and began to gobble the Andromeda up. Just then, Perseus pulled Medusa's head from the sack, held it in front of Cetus's face, closing his eyes at the same time. Cetus, not knowing that it was Medusa, not knowing that anything that looked at Medusa's ugly face would turn into a stone, looked at Medusa and turned into stone. Andromeda breathed. "You can open your eyes," said Perseus. Andromeda opened her eyes, looked around, and there was a beautiful, big, lovely stone arch she hadn't noticed before. Kind of looked like a funny sea monster, but, well, it was just a rock. "Who are you?" "I," said Perseus, "am your husband."